I haven't even started yet, and she's crying. Wow. Wow. I know one verse I memorized early in Ezekiel was, as is the mother, so is her daughter. I don't know why that verse came to my mind, but 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. We'll read one verse together. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone does not have a Bible with them, please share your Bible with them. And let's read this out loud together, shall we? For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Let's read it one more time. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Shocking statement, really, when you think about it. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And dear God, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for the day that someone shared the gospel with us, and we trusted you as our Savior. And dear God, thank you, Lord, for allowing us the ability to meet again. And Lord, please bless thy word this morning. Your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and our minds. And I pray that we'll be better for it if we just pay attention and listen. And Lord, bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning is sort of a part two of last Sunday's sermon on truth. What is truth? Whatever the subject was last Sunday, the title at least. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the nature of truth. And there's no way I can totally exhaust this in the limited time that I have this morning. But I want you to listen to what the Bible says concerning the nature of truth itself. And this will be a little surprising to most of us, unless you've been saved for quite a length of time and you'll understand these truths. But it's very interesting here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 8, God says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now that verse threw me for a loop when I first read it years ago, and I didn't understand completely, but I do understand now, and I'm going to share with you the limited knowledge that I have concerning that. Every single person is going to be a testimony and a witness to the truth. You have a choice to make in your life. You can either obey the truth and God will bless you because of it, or you can disobey the truth and God will curse you as a result of it. And as a result of both of those things, God's word will be proven. In other words, whatever you decide to do, it'll prove God's word and it'll prove the truth of God's word. A person who is obeying the very words of God and the truth of God will be blessed of God as God commanded his blessings on those who obey him. If you decide, if you choose, you're going to see it's a choice that you make to disobey the very truth that you're presented, the very word of God, then God's word will still be honored because God says in Galatians chapter number 6, God is not mocked. Huh? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever you decide to do, if you decide to obey the word of God, God's promised that he'll bless you. Now, unfortunately, we live in a material world, so most of us think material-wise. And that's not necessarily true. I'm not saying that God's going to bless you materially or with finances or with comfort. I'm not talking about those kinds of blessings. I'm talking about spiritual blessings, about peace and joy and souls and the blessings of God, the power of God. I'm talking about those kinds of things. And I'm not necessarily saying that God won't bless you financially or materially. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we should focus on the spiritual rather than the earthly. But again, God's very clear. Even if you decide to disobey God, you're going to be held up as an object lesson to everybody else. Say, hey, here's what happens. God's word said it. Here's what happens to somebody that disobeys God. So the decision, the choice is really up to you whether you're going to obey the word of God or disobey the word of God. I can't make that decision for you, but I'm telling you this much. Whatever course you take, whatever action you take, God's word will be proven true. And it says here, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. I stopped somebody, actually I was pumping gas yesterday. And as I usually do, I give out a gospel tract. I think it was with my wife during soul winning time. I can't remember. You were in the car? All right. So this guy, he came pulling in, man. I thought he was in the hood, to be honest with you. This guy came pulling in, all dark tinted windows, man. Just, you know, chrome wheels, you know, just straight out of the ghetto car, you know. He gets out of the car and the guy's white. And it just shocked me, you know. And he could tell he had a chip on his shoulder walking through, going inside, coming back to the car and pumping the gas. And so when I'm done there and he's still pumping, I pull out a gospel track and I give him a gospel track. And he says to me, I'm a pagan. I don't want that. That's a bunch of fairy tales, that God of the Bible, he said. And this is what he was saying. I just looked at him, pulled my gospel track back in my car. I said, sir, you're going to meet that God at the judgment one day, and you're going to give an account of everything you ever said, done, and heard. Got my car and left. Amen. He just shell-shocked that somebody would answer him back, you know. Like, he came all, you know, braggadocious, you know, big guy, heavy, not heavy set, but built guy, pumping his fancy car, $30,000, $40,000 car, with his girlfriend clinging on him. He's a real hot dude, you know. And I said, sir, you're gonna meet that God that you don't think exists. You're going to stand in front of him. I said, you're going to give an account of your life, I said. He just looked at me. I got back in my car and drove off. He didn't get a gospel tract. But he heard the truth yesterday, amen. Now, he may not want to receive it. He may not want to heard everything. But I got him enough to think about for the rest of his life, ladies and gentlemen. And God, listen to me good, God knows his address. And God knows how to get a hold of him, amen. And God can work on some other soul winner's heart wherever he ends up, amen. Right. And somebody else is going to give him a gospel tract one day. And I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit, is going to work on him. If he gets saved or not, I don't know. But I did my part in, first of all, trying to get him the gospel. And then, not backing away from somebody trying to have a chip on his shoulder, saying, oh, I don't need that little God that you believe in. Now, you're going to be called to be in the same position somewhere in life. You're going to be called on either representing Jesus Christ correctly or misrepresenting him. You can either be the right kind of ambassador for God, or you can be the wrong kind of ambassador, sending the wrong signals from the King of Heaven. Take your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Paul standing in front of Festus. Acts 26. And Agrippa, you know, he's a king. He's in charge. He's the one who's ruling. And here's Paul, man. He's just too much, you know what he said? Too much learning's made thee mad, you know? He says, Paul, you're taking this stuff too seriously. You're going over the edge, Paul. You've lost your mind, Paul. You are the next one in line to Gamaliel. I mean, Paul, what are you doing? You're ruining your life, Paul. You know what Paul said in verse number 25? What he said? Acts 26, verse 25. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of what? Truth and soberness. Now, Paul paid for that with his life. History records that Nero had Paul beheaded because Paul wouldn't back down. He appealed to Caesar for preaching the gospel. So, Paul didn't make out, as you look at it from an earthly viewpoint, with material blessings. But I tell you what, Paul died right. Paul lived right, and Paul died right. And you can't put a price tag on that, ladies and gentlemen. Your decision is whether when you're called upon to not just acknowledge the truth that we talked about last week, but what are you going to do with the truth when you're presented it with the fork in your road? When truth is presented, when truth presents itself, then you have a choice. Do I hide the truth or do I proclaim the truth? Now, when you hide the truth, you're going to reap exactly what you sow. Yeah. You can't see the next 10, 20, 30 years of your life. There's no way you can plan that out completely. Things are going to come up that you hadn't planned for. You don't know how it's going to happen. You can't see your future wife or your future husband. You can't see your future children or future grandchildren. But I guarantee you, every action has a result. There's a resulting ripple effect for every action that you take. Or inaction, I should say. I'm going to laugh, man. When your kids, I think of my kids, okay? And they think, you know, it's never going to come back on them. I am going to laugh when somebody in our family tells my kids, their kids, the stories of my kids. And they're going to blush, they're going to get mad. And they say, don't tell my kids that. You're going to be shocked what's going to come back to haunt you, amen? Yeah. Well, you roll your eyes at your parents. Yeah, you teenagers. You go ahead and talk back to your parents. You go ahead and mock authority. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. It's going to come back to haunt you. Now, you love God? You love the old book? You love the old time religion? Huh? You love church? You love your parents? It'll come back to bless you. Amen. Huh? Take a Bible, please, and turn with me to John chapter number 8. I quoted this verse last week, but we didn't go to it. The Gospel of John, chapter number 8. In John 5:33, the Bible says that John bare witness unto the truth. He had a choice to make. He could bear witness that, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, or he could have just hidden in a closet somewhere and not done anything. But because he is willing to stand for the truth, I believe, if I'm not misquoting this, Jesus said, no greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist. That's quite a statement to say about somebody, ladies and gentlemen. So John the Baptist lived right and he died right. Because he was willing to proclaim the truth, not hide the truth. In John chapter number 8, verse number 32, Jesus said this statement, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I personally believe that every single person on planet Earth is going to realize, as we said earlier a couple weeks ago, even from Psalm 19, looking at the stars and the universe, that you know that there's a God that created that. You may not know everything about that God. You may not know everything about Jesus Christ, but you're going to know that there's a God in heaven that created everything. And it's going to be your job to search or seek for God and to look for God. And God, based on your heart's desire, will send somebody to you if you're sincere about it. Amen. God knows the thoughts of everybody, saved and lost. And even the lost people who live in Timbuktu or some deserted island that you think, you hear some Calvinists or you hear some Reformed theologians say, well, how are they going to hear? Well, according to Psalm 19, if they're desiring to hear, God will send a missionary, work on his heart, and send them there, amen? God knows your address. God knows again how to hold of you. Huh? Oh, well, sometimes we play God. We think God's limited to our abilities, you know? God's not limited to what we think. God's not limited to my abilities. God can reach and get everybody, amen, if you're willing to be gotten. John chapter number 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, so here's the thing. When you are confronted with the truth, you make a choice. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. You have a choice to receive the truth when you hear it. First at salvation concerning the gospel, and then after salvation concerning how you want to live your life. Psalm 15. I believe this to be correct, and you can correct me later if I'm wrong. I don't think you'll find anywhere in the Bible that says you'll make Jesus Lord of your life. First of all, because you can't. I'll tell you why, because you can't control everything in your life. You cannot control everything outside of your body. You can control your mind, bringing every thought into captivity. You can control what you think about in your heart. How much you love God. That you can control. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says to make Jesus Lord of your life. Because Jesus didn't come and die for your life. He came to die for your soul. So if Jesus came to die for your soul, it's your soul that counts and not everything in your life that doesn't seem to go right in your life that you're more concerned about than whether your soul or your heart is right with God. Let me repeat that. We are more, I believe, too consumed with everything else being right in our life, then we are consumed with whether our thinking is right and whether our heart is right. You won't, I'll tell you this much, everything was not right in the Apostle Paul's life around him. And everything wasn't right when man looks at it around Elijah's life. Everything wasn't right in Elijah's life. So it's my job to make sure my heart is right. It's my job to make sure my relationship with God is right. It's my job to make sure I'm obeying God to the best of my ability, not so much. Now, I am concerned about my life. I'm not saying I'm not. But priority-wise, Jesus said clean the inside first before you clean the outside. And we're more concerned about cleaning the outside than we are about the inside. And you're looking at it the wrong way. You're more upset because things that you can't control are maybe falling apart or you're having difficulty dealing with. Hey, if you love Jesus Christ this morning, that's what God's concerned about. If you're in love with the Word of God this morning, that's what Jesus is concerned about. Because from there, it's a ripple effect. Everything else will be affected. Everything in your life, including some of your life. Psalm 15, verse number 2. Verse number 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now remember last week we said God is truth, the word of God is truth, huh? And God's revealed truth to everybody. And it's up to all right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. And it's up to everybody to decide to receive that truth. Now at salvation, you receive the truth of the word of God. Or, if you're lost on your way to hell, you rejected the love of the truth. Psalm 19. Verse number 30. Psalm 119, verse number 30. I have what? Chosen the way of truth. So when you got saved, you made a decision. Nobody forced you. That's why a baptism is not salvation. A little baby cannot say yay or nay. They can't say I received or rejected Jesus Christ. It's only when a person comes to an age where they can understand to receive Jesus Christ where they can be saved. Amen? Well, you have to decide to choose truth. You have to come to a place in your life where you are old enough or mature enough to understand that if you do not get saved, you're going to burn in hell forever to pay for your sin. That's not difficult to understand. It's not difficult to understand. It's only rich people in places of authority that do not want to humble themselves to believe it's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. But really, that's how simple it is. You're either going to receive Jesus Christ or you're going to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you saved this morning? Or are you still lost on your way to hell? Well, that truth has been to you revealed this morning, for instance. This is a decision you need to make. If you're lost, you need to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. Well, guess what? If you're saved, you still have to make a decision. Are you choosing the way of truth after you got saved? But don't forget, you can't do anything against the truth. You're going to do it for the truth. You're going to be a trophy for Jesus Christ. That's going to be a testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ, for somebody who loves God, and a good testimony, and you're going to be a blessing to others. And you're going to say, or it's going to be revealed, that's somebody that loves God. Or you can go by the way of the world. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? The way of transgressors is hard. You think the Christian life is easy? You think the Christian life is hard? It's not. I think a couple weeks ago I preached, it's easy. You make it hard. Your pride and your stubbornness and your rebellion make it hard. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to love Jesus Christ. It's only when your pride comes in the way, when your friends and family and neighbors say, you do what? You believe that? Yeah, that's what inhibits people from living from Jesus Christ, because the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. But you are going to choose truth. You're going to decide, am I going to live for God or am I not going to live for God? And regardless whatever decision you make, you're not going to do anything against the truth, because you'll be born out that this is what happens to people that reject Jesus Christ. Here's what happens to people that reject living for God. Here's the people that live for themselves. They lived it up. They wanted money. They wanted power. They wanted everything else. Well, that's what happens to them right there. Look at America, ladies and gentlemen. Here's America. I can't think of any other modern nation that's been blessed of God like America has been blessed. Until about 50 years ago. And I can't think of another nation that's fallen so quickly in the last 40 or 50 years as America has. And you have both pictures. Here you have the first 200-300 years when the Pilgrims and Puritans and Huguenots and Baptists came to the shores. And you can see how God blessed the first 300 years while we were here in this land. Before the Revolution and afterwards. And then you see the truth of the Word of God, what happens to people and nations that reject God. They shall be turned into hell, the Bible says. And that's what you see, Sodom and Gomorrah today. Everything America has done for God has proven the Word of God. And everything that America has done against God has proven the Word of God. You can't fight truth. It's going to be revealed. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Now, here's the thing. Dictators, communist Russia, communist China, Nazi Germany, fanatical dictators who hated God and hated the Word of God, they wanted to stomp out the Word of God. They wanted to stamp it out. They wanted to burn it. They wanted to burn them at the stake. Millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions died an early death because of what we're believing this morning, what we're preaching this morning. But I got news for you. Those nations have come and gone, but the Word of God is still here. Kings and kingdoms have come and gone, but we're still preaching the same truth today. You think you're going to stop truth? You think our Marxist Obama is going to stop the truth? No. He can try to stop it. He can try to inhibit it. But there will always be somebody who will poke his head up and say, I don't give a flip what you think. I'm going to preach it. I don't care. You can find me all you want. You can send me to jail. We'll start a jail ministry, amen. Look what it says. Psalm 85, verse number 11. Psalm 85, verse number 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. There will be nothing you will do, nothing, to stop the truth. As a matter of fact, Daniel says that they shall do great exploits. I don't care if the Antichrist rules. I don't care if everybody's got a chip except the Christians. I don't care if they got monitors and television monitors everywhere and screen. It doesn't matter. Someone who loves God more than their life, somebody who loves God more than their finances, more than their church, more than their family, they don't care. By the way, did you read the story about the woman, the court reporter at the House of Representatives? Did you hear what she said this last week? You didn't read the news? Oh. Court reporter, you know when they decide to vote to open the government again? Don't you wish the government had just permanently closed, amen? She stood up, court reporter, woman. She stood up, got off of her machine, came to the podium with the microphone, and she started railing against the congressman and said that the lodges, the Masons were in charge, and the one world government's in charge, and you're going to stand before God. She started reeling on all of them, amen? They took her away, put her in a nut house, I think, for a while. I don't know why. And her husband says she's one of the most stable people I've ever met in my life. Yeah, I got news for you. You think you can quiet everybody else down. Somebody's going to pop up to your shock, amen? I said, no, no, you're on your way to hell. Oh, no, 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 you're going to meet God one day. Oh, no, no, only Jesus is the way. Not Muhammad, cursed be his name. Yeah. You know why? Because look what it says in Psalm 85, verse 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth. God looks down in verse number 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God, our holy God, is looking down from heaven, and all he's looking for somebody who has truth in his heart. And when God's righteousness looks down and man has truth in his heart, there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's no government program you can do to stop it. There's no agency that can shut you up. There's no laws that can pass. There's nothing they can do. Now, they may take away our material blessings. They may take away our homes. They may take away our liberties. But it didn't stop the Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen. If you love God, they're not going to stop you. Your in-laws can't stop you. Your health problems can't stop you. Your financial woes can't stop you. I got news for you. You as a church, you want to turn your back on the old-time religion? Don't worry. God's going to send somebody, some upstart who's about 22 years old, just green out of school, and start what's that glass front store? Storefront store? And he'll have folding chairs out just like we did about 26 years ago. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. When you get too big for your britches and you think you're too highfalutin and you think that you got it all set and you don't care about the old-fashioned preaching, you don't care, go ahead and get rid of the King James Bible. Huh. You may get rid of it, but that thing's going to pop up somewhere else, amen? And then you're going to walk by like we've been on street corner for these 26 years and you're going to see these pastors walk by, their nose up in the air. You know why? Because somebody's standing up with a hold of the King James Bible up, amen? Hey, it's still here! It's still here, amen? You may have kicked it out of your church services. You may have kicked it out of your homes. But I got news for you. It's going to spring up on the earth. You may try stamping it out. You may try burning it out. You may try outlawing it. Bless God. There's going to be somebody around who's going to lift up the old Bible, amen? Lift up the old standards. Hey, it's still around, amen? God is still on the throne. They're going to say, shut up. No, they're not going to shut me up, amen? If you love God. If you love God, you can't do anything against the truth. It'll prove what side you're on. It'll reveal your motives. It'll reveal how backslidden and stubborn you are. It'll reveal how spineless you are. Truth, my Bible says, shall spring out of the earth. Go ahead, you don't want to live for God? God will use somebody else, amen? Yeah. I don't know what it is with men today, men and women today. They don't want godly spouses. They just want handsome or pretty girls or handsome guys. You're more interested in your looks than somebody who loves God. Well, guess what? You're going to reap exactly what you sow, too. Yeah. And you're going to regret that day that you cast down the truth to the ground as the Antichrist will in Daniel chapter number 8, verse 12. And you think because you cast down the truth and you think you got rid of it for now, hey, I remind you, Ahab, Jezebel, it may have taken 20, 25 years, but judgment day came, amen?
Right.
Yeah. You may think you can outlaw it away. You can think you're the king. You can think you're the governor. You can think you're a pastor. You can think you're the head of the home. But I'm telling you, God's going to catch up with you one day.
Right.
My Bible says in Isaiah 59 that truth is fallen in the streets. My Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 15, that truth faileth. Now, we know truth itself doesn't fail, but it's fallen in the hearts and minds of homes and churches and individuals, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in Jeremiah 9, verse number 3, they are not valiant for the truth. The reason why people don't stand up for the truth is because you're more concerned about your 401k. You're more concerned about your retirement. You're more concerned about your house. You're more concerned about your car. You're more concerned about your clothes. You're more concerned about your future than you are concerned about the truth of the Word of God. And so that's why we limit the Holy One of God, the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it affects God's people. They are not valiant for the truth. It's too embarrassing when family and friends and relatives and co-workers say, you believe that? You go where? You give how much? You go, how often? Yeah. Yeah. My Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth. Buy the truth. Now, you can't buy it with money, as Brother Kuiper said here during the Hillbilly meeting, the loyalty meeting. But you can buy the truth with your life as a commodity, with your time in Bible reading, in prayer. And it's like a barter system. God will give you if you're willing to sacrifice. Amen. So instead of buying things, why don't you buy truth, amen? Because truth is what's going to matter in the long run, ladies and gentlemen. Truth. I'll tell you, this is going to be good. I said this before, and I'll say it tonight. I'll say it this morning. Most of the times, the reason why pastors go off the deep end, this is going to be good, because their wives are pulling them by the ear.
That's right.
And so to keep a safe home environment, they say, oh, I don't want to talk about those issues anymore. Let's just, you know, be happy and don't worry about that. You know, we'll talk about the most important things. Yeah. The reason why most families leave a good old-fashioned independent fundamental baptism in the church is because their children, their stubborn, rebellious teenagers, don't want to go to an old-fashioned church. They want to go to a rock and roll concert. They want to go where their buddies are going. And so the parents, listen to me good. I've been pastor for 26 years. The parents say, well, we feel more comfortable over here. This is what my kids like. No, you don't have enough courage to say, we're not going there. You want to go, you want to leave, have it. I'm not leaving God and I'm not leaving truth. Because I'm telling you something, the only hope your children have is you never leaving truth. The only hope your children, your grandchildren have, you never leaving truth. My kids can leave all they want. My grandkids can leave all they want. My in-laws can leave all they want. Blessed be God. They need me to stick with the truth so that 5, 10, 20 years, when the curse of life ends up with them, they're going to remember, you know what? Grandpa knew what he was talking about. That preacher knew what he was talking about, man. I did not realize not having a King James Bible was that important then. Yeah, I didn't realize the standards were that important. I didn't realize the old-fashioned preaching was that important. Yeah, you're going to realize it when it's too late. When it's too late. Yeah, so in America, truth is falling in the street. Nobody wants to hear the truth no more. Nobody. Just about. Truth failed today in America. Take a Bible, turn to Jeremiah 5, please. Jeremiah 5. This is the nature of truth. You can't stop truth. It's going to pop up. It's going to spring out somewhere. Jeremiah chapter number 5. We're too sophisticated is what we are. We're trying to play God instead of obeying God. You're trying to control your life instead of having God control your life. Jeremiah chapter number 5, verse number 1. Jeremiah 5, verse number 1. Run ye... I wonder if ye includes you and I. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. I am not trying to find out people who believe what I believe. I'm not trying to find people who agree with what I agree with. That's not what my purpose in life is. My purpose in life is somebody who is just looking for what truth is. Just show me what is truth. You get somebody in that position, they want to know what the truth is, show them the Word of God. That's basically soul winning in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. When you're witnessing to somebody, you're really asking the question, the overall question, are you interested in the truth? If they're just playing games and just want to have a religious talk for an hour or two, you're just wasting your time. I'm looking for somebody who's interested in the truth of where they're going to spend eternity, about the God of heaven, the one who created the universe, the one who created you and I, the Word of God that reveals that God. I'm interested in finding people who are interested in the truth. I'm not here to have a philosophical discussion with people. I'm not here to have a religious discussion with people. I'm here to find whether people are wanting to go to heaven or dying and want to go to hell when they die. That's why I want to leave I want to leave my discussion with somebody is, where are you going to go when you die? Heaven or hell? Are you looking for the truth or aren't you? Or are you just fooling yourself or making pretend that you're interested in God or interested in religion? Isaiah chapter number 38, three more verses and we'll close. Isaiah 38. God is an all-merciful God. But one day, if you die in hell, you're going to find out His mercy ends for you. God is an all-loving God, and God loves you. But you're going to find out if you die and go to hell, you're not going to experience the love of God at all for all eternity. God is a God of truth. We went through that last week. Isaiah 38, verse number 18, please. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. You can pray for the dead all you want, it's too late. You can offer as many candles and pay priests as much money as you want for your dead relatives and friends. They ain't getting out of hell if they're done, if they're there right now. They ain't getting out. Because my Bible says they cannot hope for the truth. It's too late. Right now, while you got breath, right now, while you're living, is the only time that you can make a decision for truth. For salvation, even afterwards. Look at verse number 19. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. You think to try to win my wife or try to win my children or try to win my children, I'm not going to give them the truth? So I'm going to appease them. I'm going to appease the truth. I'm going to lower the standards just so I can win my wife or my children or my grandchildren or my in-laws or my church. That's the best way to lose them forever, ladies and gentlemen. The only hope you have for your loved ones or your relatives or your friends is to hold the truth. This is the truth. Hey, I may not be a good example of the truth. I may not always obey the truth, and God's not blessed me because of it. And you can be honest with your friends. If you messed up in the past, just say, I wasn't always living for God. I wasn't doing right. And this is what happens when you don't obey God. But this is still the Word of God. And God has been right, and I've been wrong. And this is true, and this is holy, and this is without mistake, this is without error, this is without contradiction. This is what you need, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what one of the pastor's purposes are, is to point people to the Word of God. Not to the pastor, not even to the church, but to the Word of God. Because this is the truth. Churches can make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. People sin. But God never makes a mistake. It's impossible for him to lie, the Bible says. This is truth, as we said last week, ladies and gentlemen. So, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Our problem is we're not lifting up the truth. We're lifting up, listen to me good, our church, our denomination, our clique, our camp, our philosophy, our thinking, instead of this thing right here, the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. And so when we're not lifting truth up, it falls in the streets. It faileth in the hearts of men and women. And that's where we find ourselves in America today. America has rejected the Word of God. And America is paying that dear price. Jesus said you must worship God in spirit and truth in John chapter number 4. Not just spirit, not just truth, but spirit and truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 that in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. But, as we said last week, there are people that are destitute of the truth. They have no truth. They're their own God. They're their own boss. What is it with you? Let's close with John chapter number 18, please. You know what? I apologize. Let's go with Micah 6. We'll close with Micah 6. Micah chapter number 6. Micah chapter number 6. We complicate life too much. We try to be God instead of obeying God. We're, I believe, too consumed with all the outward stuff, outward appearance, if I may, instead of our heart's condition. Man looketh on the outward, but God looketh on the heart. Micah chapter number 6, verse number 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's not much for God to ask. So for you to love the truth, to walk humbly, to obey God no matter what others say. It doesn't matter how much ridicule you'll get. Doesn't matter how much mocking you get. Doesn't matter how much confrontation you get. If you love God, I got news for you. Listen to me good. Truth is going to spring out of the ground. God's going to look down. Truth and mercy have kissed each other. And I'm telling you, when truth springs out, it's like the power of God comes down, man. And that's what 1 Corinthians 1 says. He confounds the mighty because God uses the base things of the earth that come out. You, again, they're everywhere. Everywhere I go, I can't get rid of them. No, it doesn't matter what kind of laws you pass. It doesn't matter what kind of gated community you have, amen. It doesn't matter if you're in the House of Representatives, amen. Somewhere, God's going to have somebody who's going to stand up at all costs. And they're going to proclaim the truth. I want to be there. I want to be in that position where when I'm called upon to stand up for the truth of God, I want to be a witness. I want to bear witness to the truth. God doesn't ask much. He doesn't ask for your life to be perfect. He doesn't ask for everything in your life to be the way you want it to be. He doesn't. He would like that to happen. But that's not the primary thing. God wants your heart to be right with God. And I'm telling you, you'd be surprised how much easier everything will go in your life if you just work on your heart being right with God and loving the truth. Your perspective will change. Your goals will change. Your outlook in life will change. Your desires will change. And then you'll see your life, wow, God's really working. In areas I couldn't do before, God's doing this. You take care of your heart. You take care of obeying the word of God, the truth. And you'd be surprised. The God who made everything out of nothing, he can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Lord, how often really we failed you. Lord, and if we're honest, we sometimes play God. And Lord, we act as if we're God. And if sometimes we're in charge of this whole thing. And how easily, dear God, we can not just lose our life, but our husband, our wife, our children, our grandchildren, our parents. Lord, it's astounding when I think about it that we're just here because of your mercy and your grace and your goodness towards us and your long-suffering. We're not here because we've been good or we've been faithful or because we're smart enough. But I believe because of Psalm 85, verse number 11, truth shall spring out of the earth. And Lord, it's always good to be in a place where the blessings of heaven are coming down, rather than where the curses are being reaped by those who disobey the word of God. In either condition, in either way, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. So as we walk out of here this morning, as we make a decision, we come to the altar, help us realize it doesn't matter what we do, yes or no, obey or disobey, everything we do is going to prove the truth of the word of God. We can either draw people to Jesus Christ by obeying God and being blessed of thee, or we can be used as a perfect example of what happens to people when they disobey God and yield to temptation. I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, bless, speak to our hearts. Lord, may we yield ourselves to thee this morning afresh and anew. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christians praying.